you want to, you can turn to Ecclesiastes 7, chapter, the 8th verse. You know, before Sunday school, we have a period of time where we ask if anyone's learned a memory verse, and there's a lot of the children here at church that memorize a verse, and we just run a little late. Everybody knows that today, and we missed out on that. And, of all the weeks that I had made a point to memorize one, we was late for church. But one could say that's my fault, but they'd be wrong. It wasn't my fault, it was another. But anyhow, so anyway, we're gonna read the verse that that we memorized this week. It really spoke to our heart. Ecclesiastes is a very short book. There's a lot of it there toward the end. That's almost like Proverbs, but it really makes a man think when he reads a lot of these verses. The Bible says, if you would, Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, the 8th verse, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You know, that when I read that this week, that really spoke to our heart. We're going to be, tomorrow, we're going to be 37 years old. And if there's anybody that ever starts a project and don't finish it, it's probably me. I reckon of all the projects I've got started that I'm running out of time to get them all finished. But the Bible here says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And I think that it would put in a perspective what the Lord would have each and every one of us to do. I know that the Bible teaches me that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I don't know about you, but when I think about salvation, I think about what a wonderful experience it was for me. That was the beginning of a Christian life. But the Bible teaches me here that this, what we've read, that better is the end of a thing. I can't comprehend it when I begin to think about how good the Lord's been to me. That He said that there is coming a better day. When I'm 37 years old, or will be tomorrow, and we think about those that are elderly, and so many times I think they look to their past to think of better days. But the Bible says, and I want to say it again, better is better is the end of a thing than the in the beginning thereof. The Bible's telling me and you that regardless of how good it might be or how bad it might be, that there's a better day coming. I'm thankful. The Bible tells me, we read it this morning, that He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. My God did not save me. Glory to God. In a wilderness, but He saved me, and He tells me better is the end of a thing. What thing are we talking about today? We're talking about the end of this life. I'm afraid too many people look in their past to see something that's good, to see something that is better. But I want to tell you, if you are born again, reached down when narrow was unlovable, and He's endowed
to you. Listen, it didn't stop there. He has promised better days for the children of God. And that made me happy. So you know why? Because so many times people and I'm the world's worst about starting something. But God, he finishes up all. So what he said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than it was. The proud in spirit. Listen, might our church have a patient spirit? Those that are proud, a lot of times don't walk by faith. They walk, as it were, to receive the praise of men. And that's why they don't get things done. Because when the eyes of the world turns to men, they stop the work. But a man that is patient is a man that knows better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. If God's gave you a job, let's follow through. Let us pursue it so that we can be as Paul. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Listen, can you say that? No, you can't say that unless you're on your deathbed. But there is no discharge from this welfare. And there are better days coming. And I don't only speak of that in glory, but I speak in this present hour of that we're in. Hey, if we would just get a vision church, what the Lord would have us to do, we could go and not tarry here, but go and begin a work of the Lord. Thank God for beginnings. There not be an end, amen. I'm able, for God he has begun in me. But listen, he has promised us, not to those that begin in the race, bless your heart, but those that have finished. That's why we must press forward, according to Mark. Why? Because there is a prize awaiting us. There is a crown of righteousness that the Bible declares that his children, that we would just but believe, that he had trusted him, he had trusted in the small things. Is he your bread and water? Is he as it is? The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. I was telling the Sunday school this morning, although we think in pictures, we cannot express them without words. Glory be to God. He is the words of our alphabet. So many times he has the words he's placed upon my lips to offer him praise. I thank you, Jesus, today. But that better is the end. But in the beginning thereof, glory to God, I feel that. He's there with us right now. He'll be there with us tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
When I'm old, my deathbed, I can stay there. And I can do bigger. The better is the end of a thing. Let my beginning thereof. Let us enter in this journey. Let us not be sidetracked by the cares of this world. Listen, there must be a beginning and a heaven end. But the end is better. That means so much to me because it means so good to me so far. I cannot comprehend what these eyes will have seen on my deathbed. But I know that God will be better in the future than he is now. You say, Darrell, you already said, he is the author and finisher of our faith. But when he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. And he reached out his arms and he gave up his life. He is the Son of God. And he come back victorious. I could serve a Savior that died for me. And I do. But I serve one as well, who is alive, who raised the third day, who sits on the right hand of God Almighty. And he tells me better things are coming. And I believe him. I believe him today. But do you? So men, we can rejoice, church. Although we might be tired at times, although some would say, Daryl, why do you shed tears at times? But when we went to India, they said they'd never seen a missionary so broken. I said we all should pray that the Lord would give us a heart, a pure heart. I said, but it's another thing to pray that he might give us his heart. Listen, church, it's a good thing what's coming. But it's a true church. I truly believe it's a church with a heavy heart. Oh, why? Because that is the bittersweet message of the gospel. Yes, the Lord came and he died for us. Why? Because we were in need of a Savior. And because that we are in need of a Savior and we've accepted him. It speaks of all of those who have yet and who accept him and who will not. And without him, they are lost. You know, and there's some people today, and they said if God was alive, if there wasn't God, that there wouldn't be all the evil in the world. Why did the little children be preyed upon? Why the little children starve? Why this? And why that? But you know, there's the same ones that if the Lord would strike that child molester down, everyone alive today, they'd say we were all good, that we were in need of a Savior, because there's no evil, but because God, in his infinite mercy, has extended mercy to the most wretched, as well as to the pure and the innocent child. Because of that, we can see, yes, we are in need of a Savior. He's communicated that to me when I was little, and when I tried to do good. No, I did good. The good I did, that didn't make me any better. Why? Because Daryl was who he was. A child full, as it were, of mischief. A child that was in his heart a wretched sinner. And though a wretched sinner may do good, it won't make him righteous. The Lord showed me that I had the capacity to be good for a moment here and there. But you know what? That didn't make me righteous, and that weren't going to allow me to go into heaven. The Lord showed me when I was 12 years old that I was in need of a Savior. That left to myself, I would destroy myself. Aren't you glad? It's not a works. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave, you extended mercy to me, that I was born of a woman, and her name was Carolyn, that my father was Herbert, and they told me the good news that's found in the Word of God, that I went to a church where I heard people not say a prayer, but get a hold of the horns of the altar and move heaven because of what he done and not what I heard, as it were, but what I see through the childlike eyes of faith. I had reason to believe that Jesus Christ was real. And I can remember laying in my bed at night, and I'd say to myself, Why does Jesus love me? Why does Jesus love me when he knows who I am? But he was there, as it were, whispering to me and telling me, "Girl, if you just believe, oh, good things will come." Oh, and when I answered that call, he didn't stop there. He said, "Better things are to come." Oh, glory to God. I serve one who has promised us, wherever we might be, whether we be on the other side of the world, whether we wouldn't know where our next meal is coming from, a better is the end thereof. Better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. Oh, aren't you glad to be patient in spirit is to be better than to be proud in spirit. I remember my grandfather saying that he heard a man, "The Lord make me humble." And my father, my grandfather, said, when I heard that prayer, he said, "I begin to tremble." He said, "Because what would God do to make us humble?" Well, you know what? I'd have to agree that if we is proud, that God, as he were, what he might do to make us humble, that would be something I wouldn't want a part of. But listen, I don't know who that man was, but he had a mind and a heart toward Christ. He realized that he needed to be humble. Listen, we need to pray, "Lord, give us patience." We know that patience a lot of times is through a preacher that we receive. But I want it. I want it. Yes, I want to subject myself underneath the will of God. But when we bow, we can't bow any lower. We need the Lord. It's not works, lest any man suppose. But it's because Jesus Christ has loved us that he made a way. That he said, "You shall be filled with my righteousness." And if we would open up our hearts, he'll fill it without measure beyond our wildest dreams. And so when we're old, we can truly say, "Better is the end thereof." Or better is the end of a thing, get it right, than the beginning thereof. Oh, when they look in the face of a little baby. We heard this week that my sister's going to have another young. And where we was, my wife said, "Well, I just hope she has a girl. I've got so many boys." And I said, I know the Lord knows best. He'll see what's needed. Amen. We sometimes think we got it figured out. Sometimes we hope for this or we hope for that. Oh, but God knows. God knows the end. Amen. Don't that bring you peace? It brings me peace, Mama. To know that I serve a God that knows the end.
Right.
That knows what Darrell and me, if he would bless me to be 62 years old. Darrell, that he knows what Darrell's children need, if he would bless them to live to a ripe old age. My God knows. And he says that we'll give our heart to him, boys and girls, so that there are better days coming. When we heard here in Ecclesiastes, he wasn't talking about, there's the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. That ain't what that wasn't what Solomon was talking about, was it? What he was talking about is those who would surrender to God. Oh, I want to tell you, if you reject my Jesus, the Bible says the ways of a transgressor is hard. Oh, I plead with you today that you not reject my Jesus. He died for you. He come that we might have eternal life, so that we might have a promise. There are better days coming. Look around you. There's not a one of us that can't say, "Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Profess me to be born. I am a nation that I'm born in. For there are many that have much less than we do. There's very few of us that if we were to number our days, I could not say that the Lord has given us more good days, more days of joy than of sorrow. But listen, the Bible says the ways of a transgressor is hard. There is a life filled with heartaches, broken promises and shattered dreams. But it's not the way of Jesus Christ. He would have you to know that there is a better day coming. If you would just call out to Him. If you would ask, Lord, give me a spirit of patience. Lord, give me Thy sweet presence. Lord, melt my pride at the foot of the cross, Lord. God, might I kneel upon Thy crown of thorns and realize that that pain that was yours was rightfully mine. And Lord, I have reason to rejoice in the afflictions of a Christian. Oh, but not every woman and father, the lost child, bring their hands if they know not Jesus. Because it's filled, that life will be filled with sorrow because they have not the promise of a better day. And we heard of a man that's almost 50 years old, being diagnosed with MS. And I don't fully understand the disease, but there was a fellow that was telling me about it that has MS. And I guess it's your body kind of turning against its nerve endings. And eating away at them, eating the coating off your nerve endings, it begins to break down your system. It's in your brain and in your spinal cord. And before long, it goes unchecked. You'll lose the functioning of your body. And this man, I don't know, he don't really talk about retirement much. But a man, they say that most all people with MS are diagnosed with it before the age of 35. I forget what's a large percentage, but I'm thinking he's 47, 48. One day he went to bed and he was fine, and the next day he woke up and his hands was numb. He's having some trouble, I think, with the operating of his body. Some of them, I was told, don't know to what extent that he was even having trouble with a foot. One day, fine, the next day, not so good. But what do you say to a man like that? Well, if he knows Jesus, you can tell him better. It's the end of the thing. In the beginning thereof. But if he knows not Christ Jesus, all you can do is point him to the one who gives us a promise of a better tomorrow. Got a cousin with that same disease. I don't know, because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, if there was a diagnosed with a terminal illness, no doubt it would bring sorrow to my heart. And that I've got four children. The youngest one, just a little over a year. And the oldest one, not 8 yet. And you know, I would look at them and I'd wonder what they'd become. But when it was all said and done, as Daryl began to absorb, no doubt, the news from the doctors, Daryl knows one thing. That better is the end of a thing. Better is the end of a Christian's life than the beginning of it.
because then we too can be as Paul and say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Knowing that there is a crown of righteousness that awaits not only Paul, but all who would trust Him. Do you trust Him today? Have you been guilty of looking towards you, to your past? You know, it does us well. That's how you build a straight fence. You know that? You build a straight fence by looking bad and sighting along the fence that you got. But you got to make forward progression or you ain't building a fence, you're just looking back. Now the Bible says that a man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, why is that? Because when you're plowing a road, you're looking ahead. And if you've laid out your first row straight, you've got a mark down there that you're following. If you've got two horses, one's in the fur and one ain't. What is it talking about? He don't want us going forward and wandering, looking over his shoulder. But you know, it would do us well sometimes, church, to see what the Lord has brought us from. But let us not be so preoccupied at all the good that He's done in the past. And to think how that what lays ahead of us is darker days. Because if we devote our life to Him, and that's the important part, isn't it? If we serve the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and strength, we can say, as the writer of Ecclesiastes said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. If you seem to lack the fortitude to follow through, might you understand that of those that are patient in spirit are better than those that are proud in spirit. What is motivating you in life? Why do you get up out of bed today? Was it to go to church out of obligation? Or was it to serve the Most High God, the One that loved you and reached down while you were unlovable, while yet a sinner, with no good in you, the Lord might call you out and make you one of His own. Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it says better to be a live dog than a dead lion. That spoke to me too, you know. This really says something to you when you realize what the Jews, what they thought of a dog. Why, there's life in us. Let us not hunger and wish that we were something else. Because I got some mongrel dogs there at the house. We're dog poor now. Trent pawned off the dog on us because he didn't want one of the renters to get it. So I guess he likes them more than me, maybe, or I don't know how that actually worked because he was more intent in giving it to me than one of them. But I'm glad he did. She's a right, well, boy, she's a killer of a dog. There ain't a possum or an armadillo coming in the yard that old Pebbles don't jump on. And she had some puppies, weren't too good with a few of them laid on them. But they got the better of the deal, I think, the one she laid on, because as the other ones got older, she started jumping on them and being real rough with them. And my daddy, he scolded her many a time for it. And then he realized that she was teaching these dogs, I guess, how to kill. She'd run four bull on them and grab them by the throat and flip them almost. It was really quite cruel, other than the fact that she was doing it in a gentle kind of hard way. But anyway, they've got that one, we call him Axel, and Lugnut's not really gotten to the killing yet. But Axel and Pumpkin, both of them, really come up there when we come home at night. We was going to church this morning, we seen her out there. You know, one thing about them old little terriers is that they know how to fight. And I'd say better to be a little old terrier with a litter mate
than to be a big old dog or even a lion. Because when, just like those dogs are starting to learn, like I remember my daddy talking about, I think it was two fox terriers. He said, hey, you can remember, there was a lot of big dogs that come on the farm, but they'd send them running. Because one would be tearing up the heels while the other would be entertaining the dog's front parts and running around. And you just can't fight. You can't fight when you got two people tugging from one end to the other. Well, listen, let's just embrace what we are. It's better to be. Ain't it? It's a good thing to be a live dog as it were to be a dead lion. But when we bind, when we bind together, we can put a big old dog or even a lion to flight. Why? Because there's strength in numbers. We need each and every one of us to faithfully pray. Know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's get some song to sing. I think sometimes we have way too high of an opinion of ourselves. I think a lot of people think that I got saved way back there and look at me now. But for the grace of God, we'd be right where we was. And not because we were so intelligent to pick the right way, but because the Spirit of the Lord spoke to our hearts and convicted us. And we seen that there was no other. Aren't you glad for the blessed Holy Trinity? We hear a lot about the Father and we hear a lot about Jesus. But I'm thankful that when He went away, He sent a Comforter, that sweet Holy Spirit. And it communicates to me and you today, does it not? That there are better days coming to those that are born again. And if you're not born again today, I would like to invite you to get to know my Jesus. Because you might have hopes of being something great. But I want to tell you, better it's to be a live dog than a dead lion. And though the world might look at us as being dogs, Christ Jesus looks at us as being a new creature. And I'm okay with it one way or the other. Because I don't measure my success by what the world might think of me. But those that are patient in spirit, and that's what I strive to be. We need to get our eyes off the world and follow through on what Jesus Christ has told us. And know, though, that we walk not by sight, and that we walk by faith. And our God is a God that sometimes looks as if He moves in slow and mysterious ways. You know, I know somebody that right now, and I truly believe the Lord's working. The Lord's working really fast, faster than I've seen Him work before. Sometimes we get a little impatient all the same, don't we? But you know what? If the Lord worked as fast as we did, we'd wait a long time for some things. A lot longer than it takes us to get it. I'd ask you that you all keep that in mind. Maybe you too would write that on the tables of your heart. Now, the verse that we read. And that it might give you an encouragement to follow through and to finish those things the Lord has given you to do. Those small things. And that it most assuredly would give you the drive and the zeal to finish the course that God has laid before us all.